following question. Prima Godem asks the following question. Correct. And then maybe, again, that's why I was saying it now, then maybe that should apply even if you... Did I forget a page of these notes? Maybe that should apply even if you didn't do anything active. Meaning we're not talking about asking the food, not taking the food. Maybe you have to still take the food... maybe you still have to take the food off of the fire. Not sure where this went. Oh, here it is, I'm sorry. The Prima Godem is quoted by the Bir Halacha as asking the following question, which is important in theory of Lamaisa, but it relates to this point as well. The Rama writes that you can't have a guy put the food, a chazara be'isser, put the food on, let's say even originally placing the food on the fire on Shabbos. Why can't the guy put the food on the fire on Shabbos? The Rambam says you can't have a guy put the food on the fire on Shabbos. So the Prima Godem asks, why not? Asking the guy to do it, is it Mira La'akum? That's an Isser the Rabbanon. If the food is Mavusha called Sarko, and there's no problem, you're not furthering the Bishul at all, and you're violating one of these Isserim the Rabbanon, that's also an Isser the Rabbanon. What's the general rule? Shvus to Shvus b'makom mitzvah is allowed. So why shouldn't we say, again, maybe if you can, do it in a permitted way, that's better, but if you don't have a permitted way to do it, why can't you tell the guy to put your food onto the fire, again, even if it's, in theory, even if it's an uncovered fire, on Shabbos?
What's the second?
One is the Drabban is the Mir Lakam, the second one is these Gzeros Drabbanan. We said, Midarais Ein Bishlach Rabishal. All these other concerns that we've had subsequently are gzeros derabanan of shihiyah, of chazara. So even in a situation in which I can't, so we said you can't put food directly on the blech, it's mechzei kimavashal. Why can't I have ask the guy to put the food directly on the blech? Who cares that it's mechzei kimavashal? So the Prima Godem actually says that it doesn't seem like it's so bad. He says that we're not going to be mocha. Bidei somebody that does that. Again, in a b'dievet situation, it could be that Prima Godem is very important. Why does the Rama say it's asr? So the Chazanish says, because you're not understanding it. If the Isser was just in the moment of putting it on the fire, so then, yeah, as long as the guy has done that, so it's over. But if you understand that the problem is having the pot on the... not putting the pot on the fire, but it's having the food on the fire. That was part of the gezerah. So then every second, even if the guy did it then, that doesn't help me for right now, that I have a pot, I have food which is cooking in violation of one of those gezerahs. How does he know that was the gezerah? I don't know. I'm not sure. But that's how the Chazanish understood these gezerahs to Rabbanan, that they weren't just the moment that you violate it, but it's a continuous one of having food that is in that matzah of again, the more that you understand that Hashem Yechata, the easier it is to understand that. The more you understand that it's Mechzei Kemavashel, then the original Mechzei Kemavashel is from putting it on initially. But so that also might be the Chazanish Lashita, so that the Chazanish, I think, has a little bit more of an atiyah towards the Hashem Yechata. So again, that's I'm mentioning this for two reasons. One is that it's important as a backup din, in terms of when it's stuck lechora, the Prima Godem has a valid solution. B'makom, on Shabbos, if there won't be any other hot food, but the Chaznich is important to keep in mind because that's no gap for the question of the hot plate. So again, if it happens to us that the hot plate goes off and on lechora, the food is fine and you don't have to remove it. And I don't think we assume like this necessarily like this understanding of the Chaznich. But again, when Orach HaShabbos quotes it, and again, even in the Ari, he points out that the comparison doesn't seem exactly the same to when it goes off and you're putting it onto a different fire where you're actually doing the Maisa, it might be based on the Chazon Ish Lishitaso.
I don't understand how that answers the Pergamon's question. Like, what? It's still necessary Darabana.
It is, but It's a constant, it's a derabbanan. Meaning, so the guy put it on now. So if the guy would keep, I don't know, his hands on it, keep placing it, then maybe it would help. But that's not the Isser. If the Isser is placing it, so it's a one-time Isser done by the guy. But if the Isser is having food, which was put improperly, doing it, having food that had an improper chazara, and that's a constant Isser, so much so that the Chazon Ish would say that you'd have to take it off. So what does it help that the guy put it on? You'd have to take it off because it was, when you understand something as a momentary one-time issur, so then the guy helps. But if it's having the food in that matzav, so then the guy doesn't help anymore. Again, it's a chiddush to look at it in that way. But again, all this may be the chazan ish a little bit l'shita. So, what about adding food to the pot? Let's say I have my chalent on the. On the blech, and I did a. It's fully on the fire. It's fully cooked. It's mavushal kol tzarko. There's no problem whatsoever. Can I take the chalent off? Hold it. I das to put it back on, and put a piece of kishka that's fully cooked from the refrigerator inside. Inside.
So just going back for one second, the Chazon Ish should say, if we apply that to the case of the power going out.
Yes.
So then the Chazon Ish should say that you would not be allowed to.
You would have to. He would say you have to take off the food. Whether he would say that the food becomes usser, I'm not sure. But he would say that you should take the food off after the power goes back on. Again, we don't assume that way. We don't assume that way. La halacha. So again, if I want to add my potato cocoa to the chalent, then I want to put it back on. So is that a problem or not? The pot, and most of what's in the pot, is a full-fledged good chazar. It happens to be there's something else in it. So that's something else. It's ain't bishul achar bishul. So do we say that the thing that was added makes that into a nesina l'chatchila? So the poskim all assume that it does. So you cannot add any food because it's a nesina l'chatchila on that food. So that would be problematic. So again, if let's say you have the matzo balls, and you didn't put the matzo balls in the soup, you didn't want them to deteriorate, but you want them to get nice and hot, so you take the pot off of the fire, you're not going to add it on the fire, it'll give no hagasa problems, there won't be any mechsekim avashol about putting something directly on the fire, but I take it off, I have in mind I'm going to put it back on, I hold on to it, while I'm holding it, somebody else puts the matzo balls in, then I put it back on the fire, that's a problem. That is considered to be a nesina l'chatchila, just, and it has the same, again, the same problems of a chazara, which was done by Isser on that pot now, even though some elements of the pot were there beforehand. Okay. What about this question comes up. Moving pots around. If you have pots on the pots that are on the blech, are you allowed to move the pots? Are you allowed to move the pots around? And does that require the tenaim of chazara, or is that something which is better than chazara? So this is where again, Rabbi Ribiat wasn't the first one to say it. I think he made it famous, maybe about the three areas of the blech. Area one is the area which is on the, which is below the area of the blech, which is directly above the fire, and obviously is above Yad Soledes Bo. Area two is not directly above the fire, but is above Yad Soledes Bo. Area number three is the far corner of the blech, which may feel warm, but you can put your hand there, you can leave your hand there, you can be confident, is less than Yad Soledes Bo. So what are you allowed to do? So basically it seems to be that the poskim assume that you can move things back and forth between area 1 and 2, and you cannot put anything, you cannot have a new nesina l'chatchila onto areas 1 or 2. On area 3, something which was moved into something from area 3 cannot get moved into area 2 or 1. But you can also, according to most poskim, put something onto the blech on Area 3 where it can't get to Yad Soledis Bo, because it's like not on the fire at all. What are you going to say? There's no fire there. It's so distant from the fire. There are a few poskim who are machmer and assume that you have to treat the blech as one, and there's no such thing as part of the blech being off the fire, but that does not seem to be the way that we assume the way we assume la halacha. Good? Good. What about chazara into a crock pot? Or chazara with a crock pot, maybe more precisely. So again, there are different types of crock pots. We discussed it. Yes?
So basically, if you have a hot plate that you can't hold your hands on, you can't put anything down on it?
A hot plate or a blech?
A hot plate.
So we'll have to discuss hot plates in a second. When we talked about Nesim Lachatrila, we'll have to see. Again, whenever we're dealing with heating things up, we have two issues that we have to contend with, of Shem Yechata and Mechsek and Mevashel. The question that we'll have to deal with soon on the hot plate is whether there are either of those problems.
Mm-hmm. So we're saying for a blech,
again, is everybody's assuming that a blech on a fire still has the, without the other conditions, has a Mechsek and Mevashel. Putting something lechatchila onto the blech, again, maybe it's both problems, but it has those problems. A non-adjustable hot plate, we'll have to see, may be different. So what about the crock pots? So let's get the standard questionable, or the one that brings up all the questions, in terms of crock pots, is what's the classic two-piece crock pot, right? In the classic two-piece crock pot, you have it looks like a pot, and then you have an insert, which also looks like a pot. So you have the circle, which has the walls that go up, and then you take the insert and you put it inside the crock pot. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So that's the crock pot. So in terms of shehiyah, so that we spoke about already, which is that if you don't have a blech or anything else on it, as long as it's more than Michael ben Jusai, according to Chananya, we're fine. According to the which Meikar Adin seems to be what the halacha is. According to the Chacham, it would be better you'd have to have some sort of blech, which would be at least running foil under it, and maybe covering up the knobs as well. Moshe seems to think that you should do. It's preferable to do both. But what about chazara? What's the problem with chazara? With chazara, you definitely have to have a blech. So shehiyah in those crock pots, you can get away with just leaving the crock pot the way it is, as long as, again, it's more than Michael ben Jusai, which if you put up the crock pot, certainly Thursday night, but even not Thursday night, hours before Shabbos, that's generally not a problem. So with the chazara, the crock pot, A, you have to make, so if you want to take chalon Friday night, out of one of those crock pots, so A, you have to make sure that it's mevushal kol tzarko. Because again, that's what we said yesterday repeatedly. If whatever the food is not fully cooked and you take it off, there's no way you can put it back on. That's a bishul problem. That's not a chazara problem. That's a bishul question. But let's assume that it's a bishul kotzorko. Again, even if it's metzam mekviyafalo, that's fine. But if you're going to put it back in, you definitely have to have a blech. So there you would certainly have to have foil running out from lining the... Lining the insert, and then again, better to cover the knobs as well in order to do chazara. If not, so what are your options for Chalon Friday night? So either you don't have, or as we said beforehand, again, if it's mevushal kol tzarko, so if there's even though we try to be machmir for the kolbo, that we don't do hagasa when it's still on the fire, even if it's fully cooked, spooning it out. We said if there's a reason and there's no alternative, you don't have to be machmer. Rabbi Willig thinks that even if you have a blech, it's preferable with one of these crockpots to spoon it out from the crockpot, and rather than to take it off and put it back in. Why? Because of a different din. The din is that chazara is only mutter on the kira, but not lesoch. You can't put it inside the oven. So we can't put it. It doesn't come up so much. We can't put it inside of the. We can't put it inside of the oven because our ovens are not. We don't have a way to make them gar fakatum. Right, that's what we said last time. Even though the fire is technically covered, that's the normal way of cooking. And according to Moshe, you have to cover up where the fire is. So you'd have to have some sort of oven insert to even have a hava amina that you could begin to put it inside. So Rabbi Willig is concerned that why is it that you can't that this is considered to be tocho? You're putting it inside. The heating elements are on the sides of that crock pot and also on the bottom. So you're putting it inside the heat. And he is concerned that maybe that's considered to be chazara l'tocho. Chazara l'tocho is a problem. And therefore, with those crockpots, he thinks that it's better to be makel on the chumrah of the kolbo than to get into a potential real problem of a chazara l'tocho. Yes? That's a hatmana question. Hopefully Right, as blach, it wouldn't help, because as we said last time, the blach has to be a hecker that you can see.
How are you supposed to see it? Are you like running?
You would have to run it out, right?
It has to cover the entire element. There could just be one sheet that goes down and over.
I don't know that has to cover everywhere. It's hard to believe it has to cover, that it has to cover absolutely everything. I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I would think that if it covers most of it, that would be enough of a hecker.
Even if you just, I mean, why can't you just roll it through and you see it? As long as you see it and there's a hecker.
So that's a good question. Meaning don't cover the bottom as long as you see it. Again, it's hard to know because the Chazal said that what you have to do is you have to cover the fire in order to solve the problem. In theory, you're right. But I don't know that we can say that accomplishes it if that's not what Chazal, if that's not the way that it was, the Takana was made. Okay. The last question that we need to deal with Chazar, yes.
I don't see why Rav Willig is wanting to be machbid on this Chazara, which is Derabanan, then more so than the Kolbo, which seems to be a chashash of a deraisa of cooking, a bishel.
If we
say like Rav Moshe with the uncooked pieces.
Right, because we're only choshesh for the Kolbo as a chumrah.
Okay.
Right, that's the bottom line. You're right. According to the Kolbo himself, if we really paskin like the Kolbo would not say to do what Rabbi Willig is saying to do. We only paskin like the Kolbo as a chumrah. We did. We tried to explain why the chumrah even makes sense. That's where we came up with Ramosha's explanation. But we never were accepting the Kolbo as maker. And even the Kolbo himself, the truth is, never said you can't spoon out. The Kolbo only said you can't stir. The Rambam said, anytime you can't stir, you can't spoon out. So again, it's not even necessarily against the Kolbo, because we don't know necessarily that the Kolbo would go as far as the Rambam. So with all that, but again, it's clear that we only accept, we're only nervous about the Kolbo as a Chumrah. Again, the Kolbo himself, not. The Kolbo himself, I might have thought it was Doraisa. I think did think it was Doraisa. But we do not assume that we're concerned that it's actually a Doraisa. So one of the other things that we mentioned yesterday, which is very nogeya, is the question of what we called pina mimeichem lemeichem. If you pour from one vessel to another vessel, so if I have the chalent in, it's hard to do, but in one pot, and I take that pot off, and I decide that I want to put half of it back on, so it's take half of it out and put it into a new pot, that pot can go back on, so the din is that pot can go back on. It's not it doesn't have to necessarily be the same pot, even if that pot wasn't on the fire, as long as the first pot has all the conditions of chazara, and then you take the food out into the other pot, you can return. The same thing would be true with water as well. Why is this important? For the following shaila, which is very nogeya lemaisa. What happens if you see Friday night before you go to sleep that your chalent doesn't have much water left in it, and that by the time you get to the seuda tomorrow, it's going to dry out, it's not going to be good, it's going to burn? Is there a way that you can add water to the chalent? So we have numerous concerns that we have to try and overcome. First, we have to make sure that there's no bishul on the water. Right? If you take water from the sink and add it, then you're going to be mevashel. You're going to be mevashel that water. That would be a deoraisa problem. Another issue is, in theory, a hagasa problem, which is that if you pour water into something, again, the less liquidy, you know, if it's already, the more dry it's getting, maybe the less of a hagasa problem you have just putting the water into it. But again, it's certainly something that has to be dealt with when you're pouring in. If you pour it in water hard, it's more likely to be magus. You have a chazara / nesina betchila question, right? You're putting something new into the pot. How can you do this? Is there any way that you can do it? So there are lechora a few solutions. So again, once we know that you can be pina meimechem lemechem, that if something's on the fire, you can even put it into another vessel and return it to the fire. So if you take the chalent, so option number one is, again, it only works if you have an old-fashioned kettle. If you have the pump pot or something plugged in, this isn't going to work. But let's say you have a kettle which is on the fire, which is with boiling water in it, or very hot water, bovi atzo lettuce bow, and that's sitting next to your crock pot. So you could pour water. You could pour the water into the crock pot. Now, if you're, again, in terms of pina mimecham to mecham, right, we don't have any problem. It's going from one agave ha'esh to another agave ha'esh. What problem do we have? We have the hagasa problem. Right? In terms of the hagasa problem, so by Ida Rice, and I guess others suggest similarly as well, to try to hit the wall first. If you hit the wall first and pour it into the wall and do it slowly, then you have less of the hagasa problem. So that is one option. What's the second option? And again, this option only works if you have an old-fashioned kettle, which is probably like 10 older people or something like that. I don't know anybody's, who still uses a kettle. If you have something which is plugged in, so now, l'chora, you have two options. Option number one is pick up your chalent. Again, it's going to be better if you're using the West Bend crockpot, which we'll talk about in a little bit later. Let's assume that there's a way to do the chazara back into it or onto the crock pot. So you pick up your chalent, then you take your chalent to the pump pot and pump into it. Again, that's pina mimecham lemecham, and you would be allowed to add the water to your chalent that way. Again, you need to make sure to maintain all of the conditions of the pot which was taken off, which is going to be back, which is the chalent pot. So again, it really becomes, at that point, it's a two-person, it's probably a two-person job to do it more easily. Not so easy to hold on. I guess you could hold on to the edge of the chalent and not fully put it down. I'm sorry?
If you put it down on the counter, but you're still holding it with one hand, but it's supported by a counter, right? We talked about that.
Right, but you have to still be supporting it. So, right, so you're, I guess if you're sort of tilting it a little bit, holding it up with one side to make sure you're still really holding on to it, and pumping, that could work and make it into a one-person job. But l'chora, there's another solution also, which is that once it's true that pina mimecham lemecham is the same, so if I take water and put it into a mug, not my coffee, not my milk coffee mug, we don't want to deal with baser b'chalav shaylas, but I put it into a fleshik cup or parav cup, so that can now be returned onto the fire. So even though, again, it's a little bit of a chiddush because klisheni, we said, is einam avashal, so klisheni and avashal, so maybe we should be concerned that pouring from the klisheni into the chalent pot is a bishul. The poskim assume that no. Once you, the Shmir Shabbos writes that this is a valid option, that since you can return that in theory to the fire, you're not going to put the cup on the fire, obviously, for hazardous types of reasons, but you can pour the into the water and take that water and pour that water into the chalent. Again, being careful that being careful for the hagasa. So if you can, if you want to try to be careful, you know, in theory, you can make that also into a two-person job. I mean, so if you have two people, you can do it directly usually, but sometimes the chalent pot doesn't, you know, fit under the spout. But if you want to be less concerned with the hagasa, so if you take it off of the eish, so you can take the chalent pot off, have one person holding it, and then put the water into the mug, and then pour it into the chalent. You can do it again benachas along the walls to try to avoid hagasa, even if it's shalom agabe eish, and then put the chalent back on and save your chalent. So again, that's
the issue of zeya or nisok from the
in terms of kashrus.
Yeah.
Possibly, you have to be. You may have to be. You may have to be a little bit careful, but
it's not really, it's
it depends.
Now,
it,
not saying mitzvah will ever be taught, but for the zayah.
If you're holding up mamish against it, then in theory you may end up with some problems. If you're down on the counter and it has the spout on top, then chances are that's not going to be a problem. And with the mug, it's certainly not going to be
right.
A problem. That's again. That's just. It's a little beyond where I wanted to go right now. Okay, so that's in terms of chazara. Again, those are the basics. Now, with all of that, we have no idea how to heat up any food on Shabbos, right? If the only way that we have to heat up food on Shabbos is to make sure that it's connected to the original shehiyah, even if I've taken care of the original, even if I've taken care of the original problems by making a garuf v'katum, we still need to figure out how, is there any way that I can heat up food on Shabbos that came out of the fridge, or when the shehiyah unquestionably is over. So again, let's just again summarize everything that we saw that we need in order to try to solve the problem. So again, the first point that obviously the food has to be cooked in order to avoid initial problems. The second point is that Ramah said that it needs to still be warm. So that's going to be a problem for the refrigerator. So that depends. Again, we saw machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura quoting the Gra. The Magen Avraham said that being hot is a condition of the Chazara. That's another way of maintaining a connection to the original Shehiyah, is that it should still be hot. If we assume like that, then we're going to have more problems. The Mishnah Brura assumed, based on the Gra, that being hot was a issue for Ein Bishel Achar Bishel when it came to liquids. So again, as long as we're talking about Davar Yavish, which is unquestionably the only thing we're going to be taking out of the fridge and trying to heat up, because heating up something which was Itztain and Legamri, the Ramah was Machmiran. So again, most poskim assume like the Gra and the Mishnah Brura. So again, both of those first two conditions are Bishel concerns. They're not the Rabbanon concerns, they're not concerns of Chazara. What's the third condition that absolutely has to be? Is that the fire must be covered. If you don't have a covered flame, then even Chazara is not allowed. If Chazara is not allowed, then certainly a new Nesina out of the refrigerator or similar to that is not going to be permitted. Again, why is the fire to be covered? So again, we said either Mechsik Mevashel or Shema Yechate. How do we pass in on that question? So the Mishnah Brura multiple times seems to quote both, which again I sort of alluded to yesterday, which that we have to try, it seems like we always have to try to overcome both of the concerns. Right, and even in, for example, in Lamed Zayin, in Rishon Gimel Lamed Zayin, Mishnah Brura says, "Sfil dekevich is basha shiroi lech la'idah dechak after the mechun jesoi sudak lamecha shem yichata." You don't have to be concerned with shem yichata. Dekevich shiroi lachil la yichata bechinam. Why are you going to do it? Well, kach shara filu bein grufik dima bein zarek lezer elo kishadain lo yil mechun jesoi yirach ziba shabbos to mechzekim avashel mina grufa. Again, he does this in Shin Yud Ches in one or two places also. So again, it seems to be that the Mishnah Brura is concerned with both. So whatever solutions we are going to try to find, have to take care of both issues. You cannot have a problem of Shamei Chata, and you also cannot have a problem of Mechzei Kimavasha. So what were the two conditions, additional conditions that we needed in order to take care of that? So we said the fourth condition was that it has to be Oda Biyado. The Shulchan Aruch said only not placed on the ground. Ramah said Oda Biyado. And the fifth was that you need Das Lahachzer. And again, those last ones we said that the Mishnah Berurah said you can be Mekel even if you have only one of them. The Chazon Ish said that in certain circumstances based on the Ran, you can be Mekel even if you don't have both. Like if the wrong pot was taken off, so based on the Ran that said that it's considered to be, you don't need the Tunayim of Chazor if the pot was on the fire when Shabbos started, so that would help. Okay. So now, what ways are there to heat up food on Shabbos? So one possibility would be, what about a Shabbos clock? If you put the food onto the hot plate when it's off. Nothing wrong with putting food onto a hot plate that's off, right? And then the hot plate is going to turn on later. So what should be the problem with that? Right? At the time you're doing it, again, if you assume like that Chazon Ish l'shitaso, that maybe and Chazon Ish is going to say the same thing here also, that it's an issur of the matzah, then it's not going to help anything. But if we assume not like that Chazon Ish, so the Ora, what is the problem?
Talking about an adjustable hot plate?
Let's assume non-adjustable. Because again, we need gar fakatim. So let's assume that non-adjustable takes care of gar fakatim. There's no possibility of Shema Yechata. So the Har Tzvi, right, Tzipes Zafarin quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Now the Chor, if it's a covered flame, again, I don't know if you can come up with a similar mechanism on the stovetop, you know, that would be the same thing. If somehow you can set the fire on the stovetop to go on a Shabbos clock and you put on when it's cold, l'chora, it should work. Why? Because returning it is mechzei kimavashel. When's it mechzei kimavashel? Again, the pashtus is, not like the Chazon Ish, the pashtus is the second you put it on. When you put a pot onto a cold spot, how can you say that that's mechzei kimavashel? And shemichata is taken care of by covering it. So the Har Tzvi seems to go up to Zalman, who says that should be mutter. Moshe also says, how can it possibly be yasser? What isser would there be? Practically, he doesn't like it, but for a different reason, because Rav Moshe doesn't like Shabbos clocks, but he doesn't like timers. But again, in terms of the bishul, he doesn't seem to have a problem with it either. The Chazon Ish disagrees. He says, "Who cares what it's like right now that it's not that it's not on? Later, it's going to turn on, and therefore we should be concerned about the iser derabbanan."
Because of the same story that it's about the.
Presumably, it seems to be right. It's not. Don't just look at the mice at the moment that you right exactly. Don't just look at the mice hamada. Don't just look at the moment that you put it on. You have to look what's going to happen in the future as well. Interestingly, though, and it's hard to understand this exactly why it's true. The Chazon Ish is mekel if you put it on Friday, and then the fire is going to go on Shabbos, which again is a.
Everyone's going to agree that there are certain, even the Chazon Ish is going to agree that certain things that have to be true at the time when you place it. Like,
correct.
Chazon, if you take away the group, if you add Garf Chazon later, he's not going to say that it's going to be okay. I mean, even he's going to agree that it's a massive, but it's telling on the Tanan that we're at the original.
100%!
Sometimes why it makes sense. Like, if you do it on Friday, like, where there was never an Isser to begin with, he wasn't shy.
Okay, and that's what he's saying. But you could easily have said differently and said that no, the pot being on the fire is again that does seem to be what he's saying. Most poskim again It's not 100% clear to me why, but it does seem to be overall that most of the poskim seem to side with the Chazon Ish on this and don't like leaving, don't like relying just on the timer unless you did it, unless you did it from Erev Shabbos. So again, that's a potential solution, but not a not a very widely accepted one. Okay, so what other options do we have? So what about the non-adjustable hot plate? The Chora, the non-adjustable hot plate, takes care of all the problems. If it's not adjustable, you can't have Shemei Chata. Again, unplugging was never a concern. We never had a concern that you were going to extinguish the fire, right? The concern was that you're going to stoke the fire. So if it's non-adjustable, then the Chora immediately you shouldn't have any concern of Shemei Yechata. Now some say no, but the Takana was you have to cover it. Okay, so that's why some people still cover the hot plate. But Reb Shlomo Zalman did not think so. He did not assume that you have to cover it in order for it to be garu fekatum. Yet the Shemir Shabbos, and what about Mechsei Kemevashel? Who cooks on a hot plate? Nobody cooks on a hot plate. Doesn't matter how the hot plate can be 500 degrees. That's not Mechsei Kemevashel. Whoever cooks who puts raw chicken on the hot plate and starts cooking it, vegetables, nothing. So the Chora should be mutter. Shemir Shabbos says no. Why? The only reason is that he assumed that it's some sort of Mechsei Kemevashel. Why is it Mechsei Kemevashel? So it's not 100% clear. Rabbi Wulig holds that this, and again, this has become fairly widely accepted, is that it's 100% mutter. Non-adjustable hot plate, you can put the food on in a sinu lechatzchila because it gets rid of all the problems. In the Am Mordechai on Shabbos, he has a haskama from Rav Neuwirth, from the Shemir Shabbos, in which the Shemir Shabbos basically writes how beautiful and amazing the Sefer is, but says that he disagrees with this din. He explains. He says, because it's Mechsei Kemevashel. Hi, why is it Mechsei Kemevashel? Who cooks? He says there are, I think he says, Teimanim, who cook on a hot plate. He says, because there are these Teimanim who cook on the hot plate, so you see, it's Mechsei Kemevashel. So, well, he was not convinced. Find me a city anywhere in the United States. Find anywhere where that is, where people cook. It's a few people cook on a, one group cooks on a hot plate. That's why I'm going to say that. It's not because nobody cooks on a hot plate.
Is that a griddle?
It's not a griddle. First of all, the griddle is adjustable. And it's not exactly a griddle. No, the griddle is still different. Nobody cooks on a non-adjustable hot plate. Again, nobody would pour, even these teimanim, when they were pouring, you know, eggs directly on this. It's not going to accomplish the same thing. Rav Moshe's opinion is confusing. Rabbi Eider asked Rav Moshe if it's mutter to heat up, to put food on something which is designed just to warm, and Rav Moshe said that it's mutter if it can't cook there. What does that mean? What does it mean it can't cook there? Anything which is above Yad Soledes, in terms of the number of degrees, can theoretically cook there if you leave it on long enough. The food will become as hot as the heat. So, you know, Marasha, what does it mean? It's very unclear what emotion means. L'chora, he means also that it's not the derech to cook there, but it's not 100%. It's not 100% clear that is what Moshe says. But it seems to be. Again, most of the English books bring down the way the Shemir Shabbos says it, that it's not permitted, that it's not allowed to do an asinu lechatchila directly on the hot plate, again, because that's what it says in the Shemir Shabbos. Again, Rabbi Wulig, and again, I think in our circles, that is the common psak, assumes that it is 100% mutter. Now, the Shulchan Aruch also had a solution. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel, in relation of Gimel, Sif Gimel, says the following. What happens you wake up in the morning, you'll see that the chont is burning, and it's going to burn more. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if you see that your food is burning, then you can put the upside down pot and take the cholent and put it there. Now, what's interesting is it sounds like that's a kula in chazara, correct? He didn't say you can take something from the refrigerator and put it on top of the blech. He said you could take your pot, which obviously was on an open fire, so you had a shehiya, which was done obviously beheter. You took it off, and this is what we mentioned all the way back at the beginning, that he says you can add the blech to it and now do the chazara onto that blech. Right, that's fine. In Sifhei, he says, Mutter lasses api kederas chamin b'shabes tavshel shenis basham erev shabes kol tzorko kigom pandish v'chayotze b'hen l'chamimon l'fi she'ein derech b'shul b'kach. He says, not only, right, it's not talking about chazara now, you can take a pandish, we'll assume it's some sort of kugel, you can take the kugel that was cooked from erev shabes, and put it on top of the cholent. Why? In order to heat it up. So, is putting food on top of a pot, is that something which allows for chazara? Or is that even allowing a sinah lechatchila? So if hay sounds like it's allowing even a sinah lechatchila, you could take it out of the potato kugel, out of the refrigerator on Shabbos morning, and put it on top of the kadeira. Which one is it? Seems to be a stira in the Ramah. So the Bir Halacha points out the contradiction, and that others have already asked it. So he says the best answer, in the Bir Halacha's opinion, is the answer of the Prima Gadim. What's the difference? He said the Mechaber. It was stira in the Mechaber, not the Ramah. He says the Mechaber told us what the difference is. What did he say in Sif Gimel? What kind of pot was it? He said, you can take a kedera rekonis, an empty pot. What did he say in Sif? Hey, you put it on top of your chamin b'shabbos. You put it on top of your cholin pot. Why is that mutter? Ein derech b'shul b'kach. If it's ein derech b'shul b'kach, so there's no problem of Mechsei Kimevashel. Says that's the difference between the two. That it's only considered to be not Mechsei Kimevashel, says the Prima Gadim, if there's food inside of the pot. If there's no food in the pot, then you can't put it on top. What's the difference between the two? So the Rav said, explained very simply. Said, what's an empty pot? An empty pot is basically a crooked blech. Because let's say, did the Shulchan Aruch say how deep the pot has to be? So, you know, we're thinking at first, okay, you're putting a nice, you know, big pot. You know, it's like 6 inches deep. If I want to use a 3-inch pot, if I want to use, I don't know, a cookie sheet, you know, where do you draw the line? And then once you're going that far, so just put a blech on. Blech's a piece of metal. I can, very flat cookie sheet. So maybe that should be mutter also. So he says, no. He says, that's the pshat. That's what the Bir Halacha is explaining, is that if the pot is empty, all it is a blech. A blech serves one function only. The function is that it's garif akatam. It's a covered fire. On a covered fire, I'm only allowed to do chazara. If there's food in it, so that's totally something different now. Now that's a new kula, that once something else is cooking, and it's clear that the relationship between the fire and the pot is the lower pot, not the upper pot, So now that nobody cooks that way. Nobody cooks by putting food on top of a pot which is on the fire. That's in Derech B'Shuvakach. And that is fundamentally different. So that, the Rav says, is the explanation for the Prima Gadim. An empty pot is just a crooked blech, and the same way that a blech doesn't work to allow Nesina L'Chatchila, so too a pot doesn't allow Nesina L'Chatchila. Rebbe Avadya says, not in exactly these words, but basically says to the Rav, you're right! That ain't a chanami. The Shulchan Aruch didn't give us a shear for how big that Kedera Rekanis has to be. So ain't a chanami. Even if it's just a blech, you're allowed to put on, you're allowed to do an Asino L'Chatchila. So again, it's the same conclusion, is that there's, since it doesn't say how thick the Kedera was, it can be even, how thick the Kedera was, it can be even a thin one, even a cookie sheet, then it can be even a blech, and therefore Rebbe Avadya paskins that Sfardim are allowed to do an Asino L'Chatchila onto a blech on Shabbos morning. No?
So he doesn't hold the filling between the Chazara and the Sina in the Gemara's and Hay?
He has now, so, oh, that's a good question. How does he answer now for the two Mechabers? Right? So why in Sif Gimel did he say that you sound like you only can do Chazara? And the case of Sif Hay, you can even do placement lichatchila. So that is based on a alternative explanation. What's the alternative explanation? Is the Machatzis HaShekel, the Magen Avraham quotes the Machatzis HaShekel, and says the distinction between the Sifim is whether they're talking about liquids or solids. When it comes to Sif Gimel, he was talking about something which was liquid, something which is liquid. So the only way to do it is with a chazara because of our concerns about bishul achar bishul. That's the only difference between the two. In Sif Hay, when he says you can put the pandish on, even lechatchila, that's because the pandish is yavish. It's not a very convincing. Obviously, the Magen Avraham Machatzis HaShekel did think that was a good answer, but again, the answer that the Prima Gadim says, but the difference between an empty pot and a full pot seems to be very meduyak. It seems to make a lot of sense, and again, that leads to the fact that again, I think the accepted psak in our yeshiva, I think Rav Shechter, Rav Willig, and as far as I know, everybody. Paskins, like the way the Rav explained, is that we wouldn't allow it the chazar onto an empty pot. And basically, I'm sorry, we wouldn't allow Nesina L'Chatchila onto the empty pot, because it's basically just a crooked blech, and you can't have a Nesina L'Chatchila onto the hot part of the blech on Shabbos. Yes?
According to the posting, you say that you can do it on...
According to Bavadya.
He's the
He's basically the only one. Again, everybody else will say, probably, he says a Kedera. Kedera is not a blech. So how big does it have to be? I don't know exactly how big it has to be. So the Rav said, well, if you don't know how big it has to be, so what's the difference? The point is that there's a metal hefsek. If there's a metal hefsek, that's all that's required. So what does that accomplish? So the Rav says that only accomplishes Garf HaKotum. Garf HaKotum is not enough to allow an Asino L'Chatchila. And again, Rabbi Avadya has a totally different understanding that it's a difference between liquids and solids, and that a blech always allows for Nesina L'Chatchila. Why isn't it Mefsek Evasho? Say no! People don't. If you're coming to cook, you don't cook on a covered fire. It's not a normal way to cook. You cook on the fire directly. Once the fire is covered, he would assume that there's no problem Shem Echata, there's no Mefsek Evasho, and that's, again, the reason that it's very, very important to be aware of the Rebbe Avadya is, again, a little bit discussed on Monday, is that, again, it's very, we're not going to asser things b'di'eved if there's a legitimate posik to a lot. We're not going to endorse it. It's something a practice people should do. But in theory, if you show up at somebody's house who's heating up food, again, assuming there's no liquid, but heating up food that came from the refrigerator on the blech, the fact that Rebbe Avadya says it's mutter, It would be very hard to say that, even if you assume like what the Rav was explaining, and like what most of the poskim here are assuming, that would be a problem. That would be a problem. B'diavad.
So the people that do use, they're not putting it directly on the blech, but they're putting it on an empty pot.
Ooh. An empty pot on the blech.
Empty pot on the blech.
So that's two steps removed. So that already, there are those that are matzah. That Rav Shlomo Zalman says that that's okay, but it's a second one. Meaning, it's already garif v'katum,
right?
And then a pot on top of that, so that will there are poskim that are makel like that. But again, with this, only with the second.
The rav would say that it has to have food in it.
Presumably, you're right, correct. Now it was based on this distinction that the kedera blach. I don't think it actually exists anymore. I don't know. It does?
I saw one of my friends in house.
Still, okay.
Shy Shafter's in-laws.
Ah, okay.
He's mocking them, I guess.
That it's good?
I don't know.
Or Willie thinks it's not good. Oh, actually, I think that's correct. I think Rav Shafter does think it's good. I think Rav Willie thinks it's a big problem. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, I don't remember exactly why, but I think somebody told me that Rav Shechter is okay with it. I don't know exactly why. I know why Rabbi Willick has a problem with it, and many others have a problem with it. And it's based on the question. Oh, again, just make sure you understand what the Kedera Blech is. The Kedera Blech basically takes the concept of the Blech, but out of a concern that we want to make sure that there is it's not a Kedera Kanis, so it's two layers of metal instead of just one. And in the middle part, you can put water. And then by putting the water there, so now it's not an empty pot. But you still gain, instead of trying to put your own pot on top, which is not going to sit so smoothly and not have so much surface area, the heat is going to spread. That was the concept behind the Kedera Blech, that it should be good according to everybody. Even if you assume that you need, like the Prima Gadin, that doesn't work for a Kedera Kondis, that it should still work, that it should still be okay to be machzer to that. Why shouldn't it work? What was the idea behind it? Is that it shouldn't look like you're cooking. Why is it ain't derech bishul b'kach when you have the pot under it? So the assumption that Rabbi Wulik, I think, was working with is that because how does it look now? When you have the cholent cooking, and then on top of the cholent you put something else, so now it looks like what's the fire there for what's being cooked? The bottom pot is being cooked. That's the ikker. That's what this bishul is about. I put something else on top. That's not a normal way to cook it. But when I put a little bit of water in between this blech, I'm never going to use that water. So it doesn't look like that water is being heated, and that's really what's being cooked. And then the pot is being placed on top of that. It's clear you don't want that water. You're not planning on cooking that water. The only reason you're putting that water there is to get out of the kedera agave kedera problem. So Rabbi Willig does not like the kedera blech. It could be, yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna speculate what Rav Shechter says, but I do believe, now that you brought it up, that Rav Shechter disagreed with that psak.
Does the fire have to be hot enough that the water is boiling the entire Shabbos? Or does the Yatzal let us go the whole Shabbos? If it can't.
Well, if you're not adjusting the, again, the amount of Shabbos, it should be. I mean, if it's reducing the heat so much that it's not Yatzal let us, I don't know that it would be a problem to put it on even if it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine that it wouldn't be Yatzal let us if you have a fire on. At least in, again, we spoke of that beforehand, that there are areas of the blech, in general, if it's a big enough blech, that may not be yad to lettuce, and that those areas may be okay. Okay. So again, so those seem to be the best options to heat up food on Shabbos. Again, the non-adjustable hot plate according to Rabbi Willig is fine, and according to again and kedera agave kedera, if there really is something cooking in the kedera, on top of the chont, is on top of the urn, is always going to be fine as well. The Kedir Blech is more questionable. Rav Avadia for Svardim does say that you can put food directly onto the Blech. The other solution that would work is putting food on the radiator. Why? There's a reason. It's not mechzik mevashel. There's no shema yechata. So it's ein derech bishul klal, I think, is the language the Chazan Ish uses. So in theory, if you're in Washington Heights, it certainly is lemaisa. Those radiators are like 1,000 degrees. You could the what?
Put it on the ground, it'd be fine.
Right. So so that would work for heating up the food, even lechatzchila. Yes.
Two questions. One. Adjustable hot plate? Is it once the knob is
so that's the question. Can you accomplish the same? Can you accomplish garifikatum on the adjustable hot plate? It seems to be a machloka. So if you cover the hot plate again, the issue is that you have to cover the hot plate also.
Okay, it's not that hard.
Right, but is it really what? Is that really accomplishing what it was meant to accomplish? L'chora, if you cover the hot plate and the knob, then it should be okay. Also, the only reason that some are machmir is because it could be that it's more mechzik kimavashal on an adjustable hot plate. Meaning, you figure out why it's adjustable. If it's just for warming up foods. Then it makes sense that it's not adjustable, because again, you just need one temperature. When you're trying to cook, so that's where adjusting things becomes more of a question. So again, you certainly would have to cover both, but I'm not 100% sure if that would take care of the mechzik and vashel problem or not. I guess you'd have to figure out if it's normal to cook on an adjustable hot plate. You know, the non-adjustable hot plates, I think, are only made by these Jewish companies, because why would anybody want it for any other purpose besides this? The adjustable hot plates, I think, you can get from regular, normal companies as well. I discovered something very interesting, actually. There's a new heating device. I didn't look at it too carefully, but it looks good. It takes care of all the problems, plus it solves another problem. I just saw it in the Judaica store last week. I think it's called, I don't know if I can Google it while we're there. I think it's called the Hot Mat. You saw this thing?
I just saw
it. About it. It has four circles, four different circles, like four burners, and two of them reach one temperature. They're not adjustable, but there are two that reach temperature like X and two that reach temperature Y. The advantage of that to anybody who's trying to use one of these hot plates is that, you know, you don't always want each food to be that hot. So it also folds up, and the more
when size matters.
Right. Well, it can put away, it can fold up, the four can sort of fold up. And the other very important aspect is that it's actually safety rated and certified, which again shouldn't be taken lightly either, in light of unfortunate events that have occurred.
Came out with a whole guy in Brooklyn just came out with a whole hot plate that's like completely safe. The Shabbos hot plate that's like completely certified and safe.
Ah, so same thing, but this one's very interesting. It takes a very little space and it solves this also. But again, I think from what it looked like, quickly seeing it seems to be that it shouldn't be any worse than. And it might be better in terms of some of the issues that people practically have of putting food on the hot plate when it's going to burn. Okay.
One more question, sorry.
Yes.
So according to the Shmir Shabbos, who doesn't light the hot plate so much, a lot of people do the empty pan.
Yeah, Shmir Shabbos assumes that works. Shmir Shabbos
does this. It's not Mexican Vashel.
I guess so. I guess he's assuming that already, when you put the break in between, that's not Mexican Vashel. Shmir Shabbos does allow for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So there are some people who do that on the non-adjustable hot plates because of the Shmir Shabbos, and there are some who do because otherwise your food's going to burn. So I guess the nafkamina is going to be this hot plate. or maybe you could not have your food burn, so then you have to decide whether you're going to be machmir, but you're going to do it because of Rav Shlomo Zalman, or not. Again, just one other point in terms of Kadeira Kava Kadeira before we try to squeeze in Hatmana very quickly, is does the bottom fire need to be covered or not in order to do, in order to allow for this heter? So the Bir Halacha says yes. The Halacha says that you should still be again. So even though if you did a shihio which was mutter and left it on the fire, the Bir Halacha says that if you're going to be doing the Kadeira Gabe Kadeira, the bottom fire. I'm sorry, the opposite. I'm sorry. I think the Bir Halacha says it does not need to be. I'm sorry, that is correct. The Bir Halacha writes, and the Rosh Hashavas quotes it here also and on page Tzadi Tess, that the bottom fire does not. So if you did a Shehiyah Muteres and you left your chalent on an open fire, again, in a situation in which you're allowed to, you can still do the Kadeira Gaba Kadeira. And again, it makes sense if you're assuming that it's so not Derech Bishul, and you would never adjust for the one on top because that's not what you're cooking. So again, it's mistaber that in fact should be the case. The other one which is pointed out is that there's something called a double boiler. If you know what a double boiler is, it's used often to melt chocolate. Sometimes it's basically two pots, but the top pot serves as a pot, also as the lid of the bottom pot, because you want to heat up through water, kind of like the, certain sense, like the kadeira blach. So most of the poskim assume that would not qualify as a kadeira agave kadeira, because that's the normal way of using it.
Is the sheet of metal
correct, right, it has a cover. I was talking about not comparing them in halacha.
Oh.
No, I was just thinking, meaning that there's water separating between the two. Not comparing. Kadeira blech, even if you say the kadeira blech is mutter, you would still say this is problematic, because, again, this is the normal way of using these pots. The pot is designed to be the cover of the other pot. So putting something into that cover would be a problem. And then again, I think this last point is obvious. But let's say you're putting your potato kugel on top of your chaland, on top of the bech. Let's say even if it is gar fakatum and it's heated up and everything is good, now you want to take your chaland off, but you want to leave the kugel on. Once you take off the bottom pot, you cannot take that which has been heated up on top and put it down. That's still considered to be in a sino lechatchila. Because that food was not on the, it happens to be a tot, but it was not heated up, it didn't have a proper connection with the fire, it would still be considered to be mechsei kimavashal. Good? Good. Not good. Okay, hand for something else. Okay, just very briefly, I wasn't planning on spending so much time on hatmana also. Just want to make sure at least we have the basics of hatmana. There are two different gzeros in the Gemara. Most of this is found in Reish Nun Zion. And that's where the Iker of Hatmana is. We've had a few vague references to Hatmana until now. But Hatmana is the third of the gzeros. Saying we had the gzera of Shihiyah, which is leaving the food on. We had a Hachzara or Chazara of returning the food. And Hatmana is insulating the food. There are two separate gzeros, and you have to just make sure to keep them clear. One gzera is that being insulating with something which is mosif hevel, which adds heat. And the second one is a gzeira about insulating with something that preserves heat. And there are the reasons for them, as well as the halachas of them, are different. It is usur even before Shabbos to be matmin something bedavar hamosif hevel. You cannot to insulate something, obviously, you could do before Shabbos, take it off before Shabbos. But meaning, even if you did it from before Shabbos onto Shabbos, that is usur. Because the reason is, again, we'll see what the application is, you know, where do we have things that actually add heat? So they used to do it in, like, coals, ashes, and this remets in order to add the heat. So that's actually also a concern of Shema Yechata. That when you're playing around with this thing, maybe there's still a little bit of fire in there, and you'll actually violate a real usur. The oraisa. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to be matman. Before Shabbos, you can, but on Shabbos, you are not allowed to be matman with something that preserves heat. Why is that gzeira? Because why? Are you preserving it? Because you want to make sure the heat remains. What happens if you see that it's not hot enough? You may come to reheat it. That was the reason for the gzeira of hatmana. So again, those are the two basic gzeiras. V'davar hamosif hevel, you can't do it even from before Shabbos. V'davar hamamidis hevel, which just preserves the heat, you're only not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Where do we ever have an example of something which is mosif hevel? So we don't accept when we do hatmana on something that's on the heat source. If you have an urn that's plugged in, and you put one of those, I don't know if you've ever seen them on the insulated ones, you don't need it. But on the old urns, there's just like a jacket you could sort of put on made out of like towelish kind of material that would be most of hevel. It would add to the heat. So again, the thing itself doesn't add to the heat. It's in conjunction with the fact that it's insulating it now, plus there's a heat source causes it to get hotter. So that one, Rabbi Ulug, I think, pointed out that it says on it oftentimes, Lukavan Shabbos Kodesh on this special thing. They should say instead of L'shem, like L'chil Shabbos Kodesh. The hot plate covers would be the same. Would be the same thing. The same thing as well. I don't understand exactly what it is. You put it on top of your food.
It's like a blanket that you put over your.
Right. So that would be the same thing. So again, any time that you're putting, and that sounds like a bigger fire hazard than any of these things. But again, that doesn't seem to be our main concern. So again, any time. So that's it. So if you're leaving a hot soup on the hot plate, or you're leaving again, which is on. Or on the fire, and you put blankets, towels around it, that's when you're going to have a case of something which is mosif hevel. Again, those are really the only times that comes up, and that is usher to do even before Shabbos. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says in Reish Nun Zayin Sifches that in order to be considered to be hatmana, you need to be touching the pot. Whatever the davar hamatmin is, the insulating factor, it needs to be touching the pot. That's why leaving something in an oven you have to deal with the shahiya problems, which we talked about already. It's not a hatmana shaila. Because again, the walls of the oven don't touch the walls of the pot. There's space between them. If there's space between them, and that could potentially solve some hatmana problems. So the poskim say, if you have a pot that's off the fire and you want to keep it hot and you want to wrap it up well, if you put a plate that's, I don't know, a few inches with a bigger diameter than the pot cover on top, and then put the toweling on top of that, and it's not touching the walls of the pot, that would be okay. That's it. Who says that? I don't think it's like a chiddush. I think it's just, that's just an application. Probably quote somebody explicitly who says it. But I think it's just more assumed as yesh etza. The road to lishma reidel chama yechape kli rachav agab ekder sheba munach atav sheba ovet shein etvan asakin ogos betzide akadera. And on top of that, kuf mimalav. What's the Shulchan Aruch says that? Okay, that's my mistake then. Is that at the end of Sifchas there also? Take a look. It's a long sip. Maybe it's there, or maybe that's just an obvious extension. The Aruch HaShabbos has it on page Kuf Yud. But again, that should be that is Pashut. Now the Chazon Ish points out that one covering is always allowed, right? The pot cover is also fully insulated. Obviously, that's okay. Because the first cover, the purpose is preserving the food, to keep the food clean, to keep the food sanitary. So if you're going to wrap something in foil before heating it up, the first one layer of foil is fine. The reason you're wrapping it in foil is just to keep it everything neat. If you're going to wrap it in multiple layers of foil, you're going to take the potato kugel and put it on top of the and I don't know, the potato kugel after it comes off the plata, even on Friday night, and wrap it up with multiple layers of foil in order to preserve it or put it on the pot that way when the Nesina lechatchila. So that would be a problem.
Whenever you wrap in foil, so you always have to. You never wrap in foil.
The point is that it depends on your kavana.
Correct.
No, it depends on it depends on the kavana. As long as your kavana is to is not to be maimed the hevel, but your kavana is just to enclose it, then it's okay. That's fine. Again, that's just a normal way of keeping. Again, if you're doing it, if you know that you're doing it, again, this comes up. Some people point out this comes up with caterers. That the caterers will often tell you that the reason that they're wrapping it up is in order to make sure that it stays hot. So even on the first layer. So that again, you have to figure out how much you believe them, and how much they obviously don't want it to get. The health department's going to come and their food's open. It's going to be a problem also. But again, let's deal with at home first. As long as that's not why you're doing it, then that is. That is mutter. What if you wrap up a kishka or a potato cooker before Shabbos in foil and throw it in your chalent before Shabbos? Your matbim davar amosif hevel, right? It's on the fire, and it's fully enclosed. So here,
it's between you and the heat source.
Klivishon goes mivashel.
No, I know. I'm saying in terms of hatmana, right? Like, can you say that that's called being mosif hevel if it's not like. Not keeping in the heat from the source. The source is on the outside.
Within the kishka is going to be hotter now.
Yeah, no,
it's the same thing as the pot.
It's going to be hotter, but could you say that the foil is keeping in the heat from the source? I mean, like, the reason it's
usher
is because, like, the covering...
Well, it's not usher, it's mutter.
The covering and the heating element are, like, combining to be a hatmana that's most...
Right, so here also. What?
Even though the heat source is outside the cover, like, the covering is not keeping in... the heat from the source.
It's the same as if you would you wrap a towel around a challah and put it on the plata.
Who should it?
Okay.
It's not going to help the rest of the chunks. It's only going to help the cook.
Because the towel's not under the challah, right? It wouldn't keep it hotter if it was.
If it would.
Right? The towel's not.
It would just insulate it from being cooler.
I hear. Either way, Lamaisa, again, it's the same kula. Again, your intention isn't for hatmana. Your intention is that you don't want it to mix in and to fall apart with the rest of the chont. So then it's certainly going to be mutter. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's usur to that hatmana is usur even if it's not fully covered. And the Ramah is mekel, and that if it's not fully covered, it is mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah says that we can be mekel, that again, as long as it's not fully covered, it is going to be mutter. The question is what does it mean? Is it enough if the top is uncovered in order to be considered to be that it's not fully covered? So the Prima Gadim says the Prima Gadim struggles with trying to figure this out. The reason that it's very nogeya is for crockpots. That's what we discussed one shiloh of the crockpots before by Chazor into the 2-piece crockpot. But what about hatmana? It's a davar amosif hevel. It's fully enclosed in this. The heating elements are on the side also. That's what keeps it cooking strong and uniformly throughout. So Rav Moshe writes to Rav Eider that he thinks they can be mekel on the hatmana because the top is open. There's no heat source on top. So again, as long as you don't throw something else on top of it to cover, so the top is open, that's not a hatmana shayla. The problem became when Rav Shlomo Zalman, at the very end of his life, one of his last tshuvas that he wrote, was to be machmir on this. He thought that you not only need the top open, but you need a top part of the pot, meaning part of the walls also. And therefore he said, and that's where the question of propping up the pot on the inside of that crock pot, whether you put rocks inside, you put foil inside, something in order to raise it up, is nogeya. That Rav Shlomo Zalman thought, and Shmir Shavuos quotes it, that it is a hatmana problem, and you cannot use one. It's considered the ma'amid v'davar amosif hevel to use one of those crockpots without propping it up.
So they're disagreeing on the fact that Rav Moshe holds that there's no problem since the top isn't insulated.
They're arguing about when the Shulchan Aruch or when the Ramah says you can be mekel when the top of the pot is not covered. Does that mean literally just the top? Or does that mean like the top, including part of the walls, the upper part of the upper part of the pot. So Rav Moshe thinks that as long as the actual top is open, that is enough. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no, you have to actually, so how much do you have to push it up? So it's not clear, I don't know. The Orach HaShabbos says that it has to be significant enough to decrease the heat. So you have to figure out, I don't know, you know, an inch, 2 inch, you know, a kol shehu presumably is not enough. But it has to be a little bit up in order to avoid the tatmara problem. Those who don't do it, okay, they're along on Rav Moshe l'chora. So it's not, again, not the end of the world. But again, here I think it became somewhat accepted to be concerned about Rav Shlomo Zalman, certainly at least the Chatkila. And that's where the West Bend crockpot comes in, which is the crockpot which has just the heating on the bottom. If you have just the heating on the bottom, there's nothing to be concerned about at all when it comes to Hatmana. So again, just to summarize, By Hatmana, by Dabar Sheina Mosif Hevel, is also only Asur if it's in the original Kli. And that's going to be an important clue. Let's say you want to take soup or cholent or something like that out to the sukkah and you want it to stay warmer longer. So if you take the pot of the crock pot, you take it off and you wrap that up, so that's Hatmana B'Dabar Hamayim Edes Hevel. But if you take it and you put it into a soup tureen or put it into something else and then wrap that up, or if you pour yourself a glass of tea and you want it to stay warm, you can fully wrap it up, enclose it, towels, everything, full enclosure, tight against it, because it's not in the Kli Rishon. What difference does it make? So Gemara seems to say is that if I've already done something to show, again, we know that putting it into a second Kli cools it off, somehow, I'm already in the process of cooling it off. Now I'm going to go ahead and try to reboil it. So it doesn't make sense. Again, that was the concern when it came to Dover She'eno Mosif Hevel. So again, that's an important clue of the Maisa. And that's why, again, the Boskim write that you can pour hot water into a thermos. A thermos is insulated. That's what the thermos is, but it's not the original Kli. Not the original Kli. There's no problem of Hatmana by taking water and putting it into off of the original Kli Rishon, putting it into a thermos. So again, the basic conditions, there are two gzeros when it comes to Hatmana, B'davar HaMosif Hevel is Aser even before Shabbos, B'davar HaMaimonides Hevel is only Aser on Shabbos, and then the four conditions that we have to be concerned about when it comes to defining as Hatmana is that it has to be fully enclosed, so we have the machlokes whether a little bit on top is enough, or if it has to be a little bit more. It has to be in the original Kli. Your Kavanah is important. If your Kavanah is just to keep it separate and not for Hatmana, then that is a mutter. And it's only a problem if it's touching the Kedera. If it's not touching the walls of the Kedera and there's airspace, then it is mutter. Okay, so I think the only thing, I hope, that we have left, I guess, and come with questions also, or you can email me before and if you want to make sure that we get to discuss them, is just all the b'dievets in terms of when do we have to be concerned about things becoming us there and the like.
And then we have to deal with that on Monday. Okay, thank you for the